You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Jack Millington and Rory Harker are co-founders of Billy Tannery, a brand breathing new life into the long-declining British leather industry. The childhood friends grew up in England's Midlands, a region tied to a rich history of leather making. Jack's father, Charles, runs a farm with goats where Jack learned about hides that often go to waste from farms across the country. And so he began thinking about what he could do with the hides, which led him down a long path of learning about leather making and eventually setting up a micro tannery. Enter Rory, who, as a trained graphic designer, helped to create the brand and messaging. Along with Jack's experience in marketing and in collaboration with product designers, Billy Tannery launched its first range of bags and accessories back in 2017. Today, the product line has expanded, including aprons, backpacks, tote bags, and briefcases, while Billy has also collaborated on a pair of trainers with heritage shoemaker Crown Northampton and is working with a number of restaurants to create bespoke products. The company also works with ethical goat meat supplier Cabrito, with leftover hides and skins from the food chain being used to produce their vegetable tanned leather. Here's Jack now, followed by Rory, with the story of Billy Tannery.
My background is nothing to do with leather. I worked in advertising and marketing in Soho, in various agencies for the past sort of 6 or 7 years. But I grew up on a farm in the Midlands, and I found out that there were thousands and thousands of goat hides and going to waste in the UK. Basically, the huge growth in the dairy industry in the UK for the goat dairy industry means that there are now lots more goats. And the knock-on effect of that is there are lots more male goats that are now being eaten because they're going into the food system. There's a lot more goat skins, and the British leather industry is in huge decline. So it just meant that none of these skins were being tanned. To start off with, I had absolutely no idea how we could take these wasted goat skins and turn them into leather and go on from there. So really, I just started doing lots of research. I sent out lots of emails trying to find out who could tell me first where we might be able to get it tanned. It sort of quickly turned out that there weren't any tanneries left in the UK that would do what we needed them to do. Eventually, I was put in touch with someone at Northampton University, which is maybe half an hour away from where we're based. And sort of lots of conversations went on from there via email, lots of encouragement. And eventually what they ended up doing was putting us in touch with the right people in the local area who knew how to set up a small tannery, how to actually teach us how to make the leather, and basically just to hold our hand to pass on their knowledge to us, which basically then ended up in us setting up what we think is the first new tannery in the UK for maybe a century.
It all started really with the need for a logo. Jack had this great idea, approached me. He needed something sort of visual, something tangible, you know, to hang the concept on, to start trying to circulate the idea. And I think both being in sort of creative backgrounds, I'm a graphic designer by trade, we both knew that it takes a lot more than a logo to start a brand. So we've always talked from the get-go about a fresh approach, right? So a fresh approach to leather, to the way we make leather. And then I suppose also just how we act within that sector. It's very traditional. The luxury sector is still, I mean, it is changing, but it still feels like it's sort of controlled by a sort of a few big traditional brands. So we almost wanted to create a new tier of British goat leather. So for that, we needed a symbol. So the icon, for example, that we stamp on our bags, that is a sort of an acting symbol. It's almost like a mark of quality. It's based around the sort of industry standard leather symbol. That felt like the right place to start because of its sort of global recognition. But then to evolve it and make it look like something more striking and more contemporary just felt like it fit well with where we want to place ourselves within the market.
It sort of obviously has to start with the leather. So we built the tannery maybe 3.5 years ago, and that basically involved putting these big wooden tanning drums into an old farm building, which is now our micro tannery. We then had to perfect the vegetable tanning process that we wanted to use, which is sort of the most environmentally sound way of doing it. And then from there, we had the leather, And we were thinking maybe we would go out and sell leather to people. And we sort of realised from a business perspective, it made a lot more sense for us to be a much sort of more all-encompassing leather brand that would sell its own products and really maximise the value of the goat leather that we're tanning. And that's when we started looking into what we could make. And we ended up starting with a small range of bags and accessories.
Jack and I are not product designers. So for that initial range, we work with an accessories designer. And those products, they've evolved, but they're pretty much as they were then, and they're still part of the range. The range has sort of increased, and it sort of depends now. We have a few different channels. For slightly simpler, for example, we're launching a few more accessories the second part of this year. We've designed those with some invaluable guidance from our workshop. So we work collaboratively with them. Then we have sort of partnerships with a couple of leather workers, really fantastic leather workers, actually. And so for slightly more complex pieces, bespoke pieces, we work with them. For example, our aprons that we make was done with a leather worker called Otis Ingram. So it depends, really. We're certainly taking on more of that ourselves, just because it's the great thing, I suppose, about when you find yourself into something like this. You know, you start with a graphic designer and a marketing manager, and you end up with a product designer and a tanner. You know, Jack can make leather from scratch, which is pretty cool. So we're certainly taking on more of it ourselves, but it just really depends on the project. And we're trying to keep those really diverse. The whole aim is to sort of really push leather into places it might not have been, or people aren't used to seeing it, and just sort of, I suppose, just seeing what we can use our leather for.
In the sort of 3-4 years that we've been doing this, the landscape has changed massively, and you can't move for the word sustainability in any product. And I think we're really aware of that fact, and I think it's very easy for us to get just sort of put in a bracket of sustainable brands. And I think we try and sort of stay away from the word sustainability, because I think it's what we do encapsulates a lot more than just than what you would expect. It's the fact is that the leather as a material is a waste product. So it's not a case of us sort of creating something from scratch. It is something that would just be probably burned if it isn't turned into leather. So we sort of start from that position in terms of the sustainability. But it is something that we do feed in everywhere. And it is something that, as we look to evolve, sustainability is something that we can always improve on. And we've got some really exciting upcoming research projects in the tannery, which is looking at different ways to use other waste products in our process. For example, other food wastes like coffee grounds or maybe brewer's grains, for example, contain a lot of the same tannins that we would use to tan the leather. So we're working on some really exciting research just to see how we can maybe push it that one step further to make the leather even more low impact.
Through our process, we've found that we have a closer link to other categories that we might not necessarily thought at the beginning. So, for example, the food industry, obviously the skins we use are a byproduct of the meat and dairy industry. We're partnered with an ethical meat supplier called Cabrito. And so I think that relationship has naturally, I suppose, sort of put us in touch with a network of chefs and restaurants across the UK. And I think that's really interesting for us, because it's almost, again, it's putting leather in a new space. It should be obvious to people, but people just don't make the connection leather to food. Normally they don't want to. So I think that is certainly, I suppose, an avenue that we've gone down that we might not otherwise have. We had our products displayed in Temper Soho, which is a restaurant in central London, and they were using the same meat supplier to cook their goat tacos. So there was a nice sort of 360 story there. And that's led on to several other restaurants making things like menus, bill books, aprons. Some restaurants are interested in shoes. Most recently, I think the best example of using our leather in a sort of innovative new way is we made some tortilla warmers for a Mexican restaurant that's opening early next year in London. A chef's called Santiago Lastra, and he's this incredible chef. It's great to sort of take an everyday practical product and just elevate it and make it something that's going to be a bit of a showpiece on these tables.
for me personally, I enjoy the ability to mix my life between the countryside and the city. So where I'm often maybe a couple of times a month up in the Midlands doing a batch of leather. The rest of the time I'm down in London working on the business side, having meetings with people, talking to restaurants, talking to customers, that type of thing. We at the moment, we don't work from an office. We both work kind of remotely and meet up together in London and work that way.
It's been amazing, actually. It's funny where you suddenly find yourself, you know. I think similarly to Jack, you know, I still work as a freelance graphic designer and balance the two. And I sort of think it really helps because it sort of keeps you up to pace with things. And I think so that in turn helps our work with Billy. And it's just, I touched on it earlier, it's just really interesting to sort of broaden your horizons, I suppose, find yourself. You know, you've got to muck in, you're exposed to many different aspects of a process, whereas I suppose with the day job, you have a very specific task, you have a very specific job to do. Here, we have to, it's just us, so, I mean, we have loads of people that we've gained advice from over the last few years, but ultimately it's just, it's exciting to challenge yourself. Equally terrifying, but it is exciting.
Thank you very much to Jack Millington and Rory Harker, co-founders of Billy Tannery. Thanks as well to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you for listening and goodbye.